I want to begin this morning my message by sharing with you some verses that I'm sure you are already familiar with, but I want to recall them to your mind. The first passage is John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I'm sure you're familiar with it if you've been around here long. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then the other passage is this, a verse, again, I think you're probably familiar with. It's Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for another opportunity to look into its pages. We pray that you'd speak to us today through the work of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject sin, the Savior, and salvation. And let me begin by saying that very often when we get wrapped up in our church lives, we tend to forget about those that are lost and dying and on their way to hell. Very often it seems that we spend more time trying to figure out how to run the church than we spend trying to fill the church. And so if you haven't been told lately by a church-going Christian, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're old or young, whether you're tall or short, whether you are red, yellow, black, or white, God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary for your sins. And before we get into the message any further, I want to remind you of a couple of other scriptures as well. For instance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, where it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us." Then it says this, "And not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I am so glad this morning that God doesn't want anybody to perish. I am so glad. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Now here's another verse. It's from 1 Timothy 2:4. And it describes God as someone who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that, of course, is why Jesus came. There's one reason why Jesus came into this world, and one reason only. And that was to bring us to God. He introduced us to God. He brought God down to our level, and he brought us up to God's level through the Holy Spirit. God sent his Son because he doesn't want you or I or anyone else to die and go to hell. He doesn't want you, your spouse, your children, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, your friends, your co-workers, your classmates, your neighbors. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Aren't you glad this morning that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? In John chapter 12 and verse 47, Jesus said this, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Christ is not here to judge you because of what you've done in the past. He is not here to judge you because of how you look. He's not here to judge you because of how you act. Christ did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Now, with that in mind, as I mentioned, there are three things that I want to speak to you about this morning. The first one is sin. And I want you to notice a few things from Romans chapter 5. And so if you open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5 this morning. I want to tell you where sin came from. A lot of people don't know what sin is or where it came from. And if you don't know about sin, how can you get saved? I mean, some people think that you can only get saved by coming to church. But I have news for them. Christ can save you, yes, in the church, but he can also save you on the street. He can save you in the hospital. He can save you in the nursing home. He can save you in the prison. He can save you in your house. And I think probably my favorite testimony is Bethany Hunter, the Labby's daughter. She was saved in the drive-thru line at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I thought, whoo, that's a great testimony. Her mom led her to the Lord while they were waiting to pick up their order. And so, wonderful one. God, the Lord Jesus can save you anywhere. But here's the thing. You cannot get saved without Christ. You cannot get saved without Christ. Now, I want to point out a few things about sin. In reading Romans chapter 5, we read about sin and about Adam. And as you know, Adam was the first man who ever walked upon the earth, and he was created in the image and likeness of God. Adam was a man upon this earth that represented you and I as mankind. God created Adam and Eve in the perfect state in the Garden of Eden. They had everything they could want. But because of the devil and sin, Adam fell from that perfect created being condition and fell out of the will of God and fell into sin. And because of that sin, and the fact that he represents us, really all of mankind, sin passed upon all men. From that point to this, everybody born into this world has been born with a sin nature. If you look here at verse 12 of Romans 5, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When God created this universe, sin was not a part of this earth. When God made the Garden of Eden, there was no sin there. And it's sad to say that it wasn't until man came along that sin came about in this world. Look with me, if you will, here at verse 18, you know, sin entered the world by one man, and that man was Adam. And we read in verse 18 here, wherefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. See, not only did sin enter into the world by that one man, but by the offense of that one man, the Bible says that judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We are sinners the moment that we take our first breath. According to the Word of God, all are born in sin. And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and been saved by the grace of God, then you are condemned. When sin came in, judgment passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now look at verse 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know why it says that many were made sinners and not all? It's because of the fact that at one time, Jesus Christ himself walked upon this earth. And he didn't have any sin. But all the rest of us do. All the rest of us are sinners. It couldn't say all, but praise God, Jesus took our judgment. When he died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he paid our sin debt. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one of us who can outdo sin in our own power. There's not one of us that has never sinned. There's not one of us who does not deserve the penalty for sin, which is death. And that's not just talking about physical death, but spiritual death as well. It's a reference to hell. When you read about sin in the Bible, you read that death goes right along with it. I quoted to you at the beginning of the message, Romans 6:23, where it says, "The wages of sin is death." In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Over in James 1:15, it says, "And lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And Jesus himself said in John 8:24, that "If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." It's very, very clear in the Bible that without Christ, hell would be our eternal home. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, by placing your faith and your trust in Christ, if you've never had your sins covered by the blood, then again, you are condemned. And when you face death's door and your sins are not forgiven, hell will be your home. That is the brutal reality of the wages of sin. Now, if you've been here at Community Baptist Church for a while, you know that this is my least favorite subject to preach on. But if I'm going to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God, I have to preach on sin and hell. Because you can't be faithful to the Word of God and not hit those subjects. But I am so thankful this morning that that's not the end of the story. And so I want to speak to you next about the Savior. And thank God there is a Savior. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And there is no one else that can get you into heaven but him. There's no one else that can forgive your sins except Christ. There is no one else to go to but Jesus. Now, if you got your Bible still open to Romans 5, look at verses 6 through 8. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I talked to you about sin and what it will do to you, but thank God, he made a provision for our sin, and that provision was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and died on the cross to pay our sin debt. One time, John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River, and he saw Jesus coming towards him. And he immediately took the attention of the crowd off of himself and what he was doing and directed their attention to Jesus. And he pointed at him, and in John 1:29 he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to take away sin. That's why Christ died on the cross, for your sins and mine. Jesus told us that in Luke 19:10. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Apostle Paul sums it up in 1 Timothy 1:15 when he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And whether people know it or not, without Christ, they are in sin, and it will carry them right off to hell if it's not dealt with. But thank God, Christ, the Savior, came to die on the cross for our sins, to get rid of our sins, to cleanse us from sin, and to make us whole, and to make us acceptable in the sight of God. And only Christ can do that. He's the only way. He told us that in John 14:6, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Apostle Peter, when he is preaching in Acts chapter 4, he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Aren't you glad God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin? I remember the night that I came to that realization for myself. October 23rd, 1972. I'd been sitting in church with my dad at a father and son banquet at First Baptist Church of Holliston, Massachusetts. And the man who spoke that night took us through what I now know is called the Romans Road. Verses from the book of Romans that you can use to lead people to Christ. I've already mentioned some. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He took us through those verses. I didn't get saved at that service that night, but about 2 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up and convicted my heart, and I knew that that message was for me. And I knew that I needed to receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. 2 o'clock in the morning, I slipped out of bed and got on my knees, and that night, I for myself believed that that God sent his Son to save me. And that night, I received Christ as my Savior. And I'll tell you what, I got something that night worth shouting about. Worth shouting about. Praise God. He saved my soul. And I will shout the victory the rest of my days because he delivered me from sin and death and hell and gave me the assurance of heaven. What a Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And that leads me to the third thing I want to mention very quickly, and that is the subject of salvation. Going from the corruptible to the incorruptible. Going from being ungodly to being godly. Going from a sinner to a saint. Thank God for the salvation of an almighty God. In James 1, verse 21, it says that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And as I quoted, talking about the Romans Road, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People say, how hard is it to get saved? Well, the answer is it's not hard at all. It's not hard at all. Jesus summed it up in John 11:25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Paul says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You cannot save yourself. And guess what? I, as your pastor, certainly can't save you. Only Christ can save you. I mentioned Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's the easiest thing to do, this getting saved. You just got to believe in Christ. Put your faith and your trust in him. We're preaching on sin, the Savior, and salvation. But the reality is, you cannot go from sin to salvation without the Savior. Jesus died on an old rugged cross and shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. He paid the penalty for you. And then he rose again the third day so that you could have eternal life and a home in heaven. And you need to believe that. And you need to call out to Christ and ask him for that forgiveness. And you need to call out to Christ and ask him to give you eternal life. And you need to let him know that you are trusting him and him alone as your Savior and Lord. And I wonder if there might be somebody here this morning who is ready to come to Jesus. I want to help you with that. I want to invite you to pray along with me. If you've never received Christ, if you can't think of a time where you prayed and you talked to him and you received him as your Savior and Lord, then why not today? The greatest decision you'll ever make is the decision to trust Jesus with your soul, to trust him as your Savior. And so I want to lead you in a word of prayer. I invite you to pray along with me. Pray from the depths of your heart. Believe what you pray, because that's what makes the difference. It's faith. This is not just a magical formula. Repeat a few words after the preacher and you're in. Right? You got to believe what you're praying. But if you'd like to receive Christ today, pray along with me. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. And you don't even have to pray out loud. You can if you want to. Wouldn't bother me. But you don't have to. He can hear the words as they come from your heart. But would you pray along with me? Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and convicted my heart and told me that I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell. But I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to live with you forever in heaven. So I now turn from my sins and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life as my personal Savior. I believe, Lord, that you are the only begotten Son of God and that you came to this earth to die for my sin. I believe that you died, and I believe you arose on the third day so I could have eternal life through you. I now trust you and you alone as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could look up at me for just a moment. If you prayed along with me this morning and you've never prayed and received Christ, but today you have, would you please do me the favor of seeing me before you leave church this morning? Because I want to have an opportunity to welcome you to God's family. We're glad to have you in the family. And I want to also give you a word of encouragement in your new walk with Christ. So make sure that you see me this morning before you leave if you prayed along with me this morning. But really, there are two reasons why I preached that sermon this morning. The first one was, of course, in case there is somebody here who does not know Christ and needs to be saved. I wanted them to know that Jesus is waiting with open arms to save them and set them free from their sin and give them eternal life. That was my primary purpose. But my second purpose was to take a moment to remind every Christian in this room what it is we celebrate when we partake in the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is all about sin, the Savior, and salvation. It's a reminder to us of what Jesus has done on our behalf.